We're starting a series, I hope, on Rambam's introduction to Sefer Mitzvot. One of the great rabbis of Brisk, Rav Chaim from Brisk, I don't remember if it was he who came to an interview, or it was someone who came to an interview by him, that when they were talking and learning, so he quoted from this work, the Rambam's introduction to Sefer Mitzvot, and the rabbi replied, he said, "Wow, who told you the great secret that in order to really delve into the depths of the Talmud, you have to master this work, the Rambam's introduction to Sefer Mitzvot? That there are great depths of understanding all the mitzvot and the works of the Talmud in this work that we will learn, Bezrat Hashem, in the upcoming weeks." It's not mine here. This is mine. So we will begin. The Rambam wrote his works in Arabic in general, and they were translated.
Yad Chazakah was in Hebrew, right?
Correct. The Yad Chazakah was in Hebrew. The Bush HaMishnah was in Arabic. And now we're also reading a translation. This translation is Rav Ibn Tibon's translation. אמר הרב הגדול מרנה ורבנה משה עבד האלוקים בן כבוד מרנה ורבנה הרב רבי מימון זצ"ל. Says the Rambam, מפני שקדם לנו החיבור המפורסם. Because we have proceeded with the famous work אשר כללנו בו פירוש כל המשנה, and that is the work in which we've encompassed, we've really explained all of the Mishnah. That's the Rambam's first work that he wrote in his youth, the Rambam's Perush HaMishnah. So the Rambam says, we've really already written our work on the Mishnah, which was the Rambam's first work, his composition on the Mishnah. And with that work, our intent was לקצר ביור עניין הלכה הלכה מן המשנה, to quickly explain the halachas of each Mishnah. ולא הייתה בו כוונתנו להשלים דין כל מצווה. We didn't mean to really fully encompass and really explain all the laws of each mitzvah, or to include all the aspects of the Mishnah, what's prohibited, what's permissible, when is he obligated, when is he patur, when is he not obligated. Anyone who looks at the work on the Mishnah will see that there are many details that we left out, because that wasn't our purpose to cover all the details in that work. So now, ראיתי גם כן שהחבר חיבור, I've seen fit that I will also compose a work, יכלול כל דיני התורה ומשפטיה, that will encompass all the laws of the Torah, all the rulings of the Torah, עד שלא יהיה דבר חסר ממנו. Tell it isn't lacking anything. And this is really the Rambam's introduction here. ושיעשה בו משהו מנהגי לעשות, and I'll do what's become my custom to do, לעזוב זיכרון המחלוקות, to forgo mentioning all the different arguments of the rabbis, והמאמרים הנדחים, and not to mention those opinions which were pushed off by the Gemara that were not accepted, ושלא אביא בו כי אם הלכה פסוקה, and in this work I will only include הלכה, ושיהיה חיבור הוא כולל כל דיני תורת משה רבנו, and that this work should encompass all the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, מה שצריך בזמן הגלות ומה שאיננו צריך. This work I want to encompass the laws of the Torah, be it what you need at the time of Galut, and he beat the halachot that are not relevant in Galut, but Bezrat Hashem will be relevant when we get back to the land of Israel.
There's different Yisod, or different stations.
והיה הנאות אצלי להפיל ממנו עריכות והסמיכות בזיכרון בעל הקבלה. And what made sense to me was to push away being lengthy, להפיל, to put down being lengthy, and to mention who is the one that says this. I decided that I'm not going to rely on this is what Rabbi so-and-so said, this is what Rabbi so-and-so said. I leave out the names of who I'm quoting in order that this work will be much shorter. עד שלא אמר דברי רבי פלוני ולא רבי פלוני אומר כך וכך. You see, in my work, I will not write these are the words of Rabbi so-and-so or Rabbi so-and-so says such and such. בכל מאמר ומאמר, with every sentence. אבל אזכור חכמי המשנה וחכמי התלמוד כולם עליהם שלום, but rather, I will mention the rabbis of the Mishnah and Talmud, all of them, may they rest in peace, may their memory be blessed. Zichron kolel, I mentioned them in an encompassing mention. Betchilat ha-chibur, in the beginning of this work. So he's saying, I'm telling you, everything I'm saying is from them. Now I'm not going to tell you which one said what. I'm not going down to mentioning which rabbi says which thing, so that the reading flows and it's much shorter. V'omar, but rather what I'm telling you in my introduction is, kidinei ha-Torah kulam, v'hi Torah she-be'al peh, but rather I'm going to tell you that all the laws of the Torah, all the oral law, mekubalim miploni u'miploni ad-ezrad Moshe Rabbeinu, they're all things that we have on tradition, going back to Ezra, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Isn't that one of the major controversies of the Rambam? So to do their avadim, scholars would be hard to know where he got this.
The Rambam himself writes in a letter that a rabbi came and asked him, "Where'd you get this halacha from?" And it was a halacha of Ir Miklat, halachos of a person who murders by mistake. So he says, well, isn't it a Gemara in Makos? So the rabbi said, no, I went through all the Gemara in Makos, it's not there. So he said, well, isn't it a Gemara in Yevamos? So he said, no, I went through all the Gemara in Yevamos, and it's not there. So the Rambam says, gee, let me look. And the Rambam took out his Gemaras, and he started looking through the Gemaras, and he said, you know what, I don't know. So the Rambam records in the letter that the rabbi left him, and after the rabbi left, he suddenly remembered it's a Gemara out in Kedushin, and he found the Gemara, and he ran after the rabbi, and he told him where the Gemara is. And then the Rambam says, I thought to myself, if I, who composed this work, can't remember what the source for everything I wrote is, I wonder how could other people discover the source for everything I wrote. And then, says the Rambam, I decided that I made a mistake, that I didn't write the sources for what I wrote, and I took upon myself that if God gives me strength and time, I will write a separate work which will explain what is the source for every halacha I wrote. And as we know, we don't have such a work from the Rambam, so it seems that God did not give him the time to do it, but that's what everyone's been working on since the Rambam, to try and figure out where to get this from. So most of the halachot, we know. The Rambam writes it in his letters. We have it in Ikhot Rambam, in the Rambam's letters. In one of the letters, he writes this. If you want, I can find it. I have it at home. V'chein ra'iti shelo ha-chabreu b'lshon sifrei nevuah. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. So rather, what I'm saying, says the Rambam, the oral law was all from on tradition till Ezra and Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'll just mention who were the rabbis in the tradition. I'm doing all this for the sake of brevity, for the sake of keeping it short. And I also, it made sense to me not to write this work in the language of the prophets. We don't have a good mastery of that language, so it's going to be very difficult for us to cover all the works in that language. And by the same token, I won't compose my work with the language of the Talmud, because there are only a few people left, only a few Jews left that really understand the Talmud, the language of the Talmud. And many words in the Talmud are foreign and difficult, even to those that are masters of the Talmud. But rather, I will compose my work, the Yadah Hazakah, I will compose it with the language that's used in the Mishnah, because that will be easy for most people. And I will encompass in this work everything that's been validated, everything that we've verified from the words of the Torah, and shelo yichsar shum sheila tzricha shelo eskera. I would write one.
Tachagor.
I have to see the context.
Shelo tachagor, shelo techsar. It's another. Said because it sounds very different.
Right. I don't know how Rav Kapach means. So the Rambam says that it won't be lacking. Any question that you come up with, there won't be a question that I won't mention, or it's called shorish, or at least I'll mention the root, that you could figure out the answer without working too hard on what I've said. So my goal, says the Rambam, is that I'll encompass any question you might have, look in my work and you'll find the answer. But my purpose, says the Rambam, is also to be short, to keep this work short, together with the general rules of the Torah. So that if you learn my work, you'll know everything that says in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, in the Medrash Halacha of Sifra and Sifri, and in the Tosefta. And all the derivations of the later Gaonim, later rabbis, and their explanations, and they elaborated, they explained, all the different laws. Mushlam, meshalem ve'inom shalem, nishbal patur mi lishaba, the laws, the monetary laws, when you have to pay, when you have to take a vow. Uvichlal, huh? Yeah. Upatur mi lishaba, and when you do not have to take a vow.
Isn't the Mishnah written in Hebrew?
Yeah.
So
Lashon Nevoah is a complex Hebrew. The Shona Mishnah is an easier Hebrew. It's two different forms of Hebrew. You see that the rabbis of the Mishnah had a hard time understanding words in the prophets. They didn't know what a matate was. And my purpose is that my work, if you have this and the Torah, you won't need any other work. Ladat mimenu davar. Once you have my work, you won't need anything else in order to know anything. My goal, says the Rambam, is that if you have the Torah and you have my work, together you could know everything you need to know, be it the things that are biblical, be it the things that are rabbinic. Now the Rambam writes in one of his letters, he says, don't be a fool. Don't think that I meant that people will never learn Talmud again, they'll just learn my work. My purpose is for the common folk. The average person who cannot learn Talmud, who doesn't have time to learn Talmud, who needs to know halacha, he will be able to take my work together with Tanakh and know halacha. That's my goal. But of course, you need to learn Talmud. I didn't mean that my work is a substitute. And I'll prove it to you, says the Rambam. In my academy, very often we learn Talmud. The guys ask me, give us shir in the Rif. So I give shir in the Rif on Rosh Hashanah. I give shir in the Rif on Makos. I give shir in the Rif all the time. They ask me for shirim in Talmud, so I give them shirim in the Rif. You see, that was their Shurim and Talmud. That's what the Rambam writes in the letter. Of course, we learn Talmud in my academy, and of course I meant for the rabbis to continue learning Talmud. All I meant was that for the common folk who cannot learn enough and do not understand, at least they'll have a work which will help them, like what we would call today, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a simple form of halacha. And once I've decided that this is my purpose, so I thought about how will I divide this work? What's the most fitting way to set up this work? Will I adopt the divisions of the Mishnah and I'll follow in Rebbe's footsteps and Rebbe's path? Or maybe I'll make a different division, or maybe I'll take a totally different order, an order that's logical, that you begin with the things that are easier to learn, and then as you advance in a work, you get the things that are more difficult, and that's what the Rambam chose. And what makes sense to me is that what's good is that the division should be that I divide it into halachos instead of the tractates of the Mishnah. One can say, these are hilchot sukkah, these are the laws of sukkah, these are hilchot lulav, these are the laws of lulav. They're not all in one tractate, like masecht sukkah, but rather, you have these laws and these laws, hilchot tefillin, hilchot mezuzah, hilchot tzitzit, the laws of the tefillin, of the mezuzah, of tzitzis. And the Rambam really did us a great favor in doing that, because it's much easier to find laws in the Rambam. And I'll divide each work into chapters and halachos, just like the Mishnah is divided into chapters and halachot. Until the way I'll set up the work is, for example, in the laws of tefillin, I'll have perek rishon, perek sheni, perek shlishi v'rviyi. I'll have the first, second, third, fourth chapter. And each chapter will be divided into its own halachot, so that it's easy to memorize it, for anyone who wants to memorize it, or it'll be easy just to remember it. And the Rambam is really the one work which is the most organized of all our halachic works. The Rambam is very organized. I always tell people, if you're going to learn a masechet, before you learn the masechet, open up the Rambam and those halachot. You're learning Gittin, So what do you need to know about Gittin before you learn Masechet Gittin? You don't know what you need to know. If you start with the Mishnah starts talking to you about technical details about b'fanai nechtam, when you send a get from here, from there, what is a get? Where does it begin? Where do we have the concept of get in the Torah? You want an organized work, you open a Rambam. The Rambam did what he promised us he would do. Everything is organized. It begins with what's easy, it begins with the basic concepts, and then it evolves. The Rambam is very, very misudal. The Rambam's halachot do not go in the order of the Shas, they do not go in the order of the Talmud, but rather they go in a logical sequence. And that is a great gift that the Rambam gave us. He gave us a work that if you know nothing, you could just open that work and start learning, and you have something that's very easy to learn. The humivuah, and it's clear, kibiyota chalukah ken, that when I divide it in this fashion, shamitzvah ha'achat imase o lo ta'ase, that if you have one mitzvah, be it a proactive mitzvah, a prohibition, en ro'i lechalek dineh b'shnei klalim, it doesn't make sense to divide the laws of one mitzvah in two different books. Aval ma she'itzterech ba min ha'chalukah yiyeh b'pakim she'b'otah klal. But rather, if I need to divide the aspects of a mitzvah, I'll divide it within one work. So in ilchot tzitzit, I'll have the positive aspects of tzitzit in one chapter, and the prohibitions of tzitzit in another chapter. And sometimes you have one concept that encompasses a few mitzvot. Be it because they're all revolving around one concept that encompasses all of them. Or sometimes you have many mitzvot that really have the same intent. And for example, I'll say, says the Rambam, when I'll discuss the laws of Avodah Zarah, and I'll name the work that sefer is, the general term is the laws of Avodah Zarah. You'll find in the laws of Avodah Zarah many mitzvot. The laws of mesit, one who tries to encourage others to serve idols, umediach, one who encourages others, umavir lamolech, one who passes his son for the idol of molech, umitnabeh bishma, one who prophesies in the name of an idol, vovedotar, one who serves the idol, vizulat elu mimashu min ha-mitzvot pinyan avodah zarah levad, and other mitzvot that really pertain to avodah zarah, to idol worship. V'chein k'shomar ilchot isurei mizbeach, and so too when I say the laws of the things that are prohibited on the altar, adaber b'chlal ahu, in that section I will discuss, al seor, I'll discuss the prohibition of giving something leaven on the altar, vidvash, and the prohibition of honey on the altar, uvalei mumin, and the prohibition of taking an animal that's blemished, vetnam zona, or an animal that was given as a gift to a prostitute, umechir kelev, or an animal that was given in exchange for a dog, vadomelem, or other laws that are similar to these, ki elo ha-mitzvot kulam, for these mitzvot, all of them, yesh lehem inyan echad yichlelem, they all revolve around one concept, and that concept is, these are all things that the Torah prohibits bringing them on the altar as a sacrifice. And because of this thought, and here, this is what we really need. Everything until now was an introduction to the general Yad HaZakah, and now the Rambam is giving us his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvot. He says, because this is my purpose, to put together the mitzvot revolving around each one, revolving around its topic. So I saw fit that at the beginning of this work, the Yad HaZakah, I will enumerate the mitzvot, all the mitzvot, aseh en lo taseh, ad shetavo chalukat hasefer al klalam, so that I know that I've divided this work, that it encompasses all of the mitzvot, velo timalet mitzvah, and I won't end up forgetting a mitzvah. So the Rambam says, I had to write a work that encompasses the mitzvot, to make sure that in my work, I won't forget something. I'll encompass all the mitzvot. Shelo nashlim adibur bedina, that there won't be a mitzvah that I forget, and I won't really completely discuss all the laws of that mitzvah. Im bifrat, be it specifically, kmo sukkah velulav vetzitzit vetfilin, ki kol achat mehen sovel tadibur bifrat, be it with details, like sukkah, lulav, tzitzit, tefillin, that each one has to have its own expansion regarding its details, or the general mitzvot, the more general mitzvot, as we've mentioned, we'll see. Once we've enumerated them, and we'll say, so then, that's what the Rambam really does in the Yad HaZakah. Every time he begins a work, he says, I will discuss now the laws of Avodah Zarah. At the very beginning, he says, and the laws of Avodah Zarah have so many mitzvot to say, ve'melu ve'lu, and these are the mitzvot aseh v'avodah zar. Ve'chach ve'chach mitzvot lo taseh, and has this many prohibitions, ve'melu ve'lu, and these are the lo taseh. Ze kulo, I did all of this, li'shamer shelo yadav v'imalet mimeni davar, so I don't end up forgetting, missing something, shelo adaber bo, that I won't discuss, uve'zuchri kol ha'mitzvot. Ve'mispar hayiti batuach mize, and once I've enumerated, once I'm going to count all 613 mitzvot, I can be confident that I won't forget any. So, this is the beginning of the Rambam's introduction to why he wrote the Sefer Mitzvot. And Bezrat Hashem, next time we will continue. The Rambam continues explaining how he made the count, and then the importance of his introduction to the count, which is what we're going to learn. Bezrat Hashem, our focus over the next few months is going to be on the Rambam's introduction to the Sefer Mitzvot, in which the Rambam discusses the rules of how you quantify a mitzvah, how you quantify what is a biblical mitzvah, what isn't a biblical mitzvah, what's an encompassing mitzvah, what gets counted in the 613 mitzvot, and what does not. Bezrat Hashem, we will continue in 2 weeks, next time.
Could that be so?
The truth is that I would take the Rambam at face value. He's not the only one that did this. We know that even though the rabbis, the Rishonim, were geniuses, they also took their own notes. Even the rabbis in the Mishnah took their own notes. They had Megillat Sedarim, the notes that they wrote on the Mishnah, so that they don't forget Mishnayot. Before the Rosh wrote his work on the Talmud, he wrote a short version of Tosfos, summary of Tosfos, what we call Piskei HaTosfos. He wrote that for himself as a summary, so he doesn't forget something when he writes the Rosh. Before the Tur wrote his work, so he wrote a short version, notes version of his father, the Tur's of the Rosh's work. The Tur, Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the Rosh, wrote Piskei HaRosh. He wrote a summary version of his father's work, also as preparation for his work, the Tur. So I think the Rambam, when he says this, is being very real with us. He was a great genius, and at the same time said, I want to make sure I don't miss something, so I wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot.